yesterday, the remains of the first known Australian Mungo Man began their return to the Willandra area of New South Wales, where they were discovered back in 1974. But has science found everything it can from the remains over the last 42 years? We've got Dr. Michael Westaway to join us now to talk about this. So you were saying that possibly as few as 10 scientists only got to examine Mungo Man over the last 42 years. Why do you say this?
The remains were found by Jim Bowler, and the biological anthropologist or paleoanthropologist that was tasked with the responsibility of reconstructing the fossil remains and describing them was Alan Thorne, who passed away about 5 years ago, I think. And Alan had the right, or the prior right, to actually describe and publish the fossils, and unfortunately a description was never made and published. He did certainly publish a few papers on the dating of the fossil and describing it in relationship to other fossils, but a lot of the basic work wasn't done. And, really this is one problem in paleoanthropology that, you know, if someone has access to a fossil and don't give other scientists access to it, then the reconstruction of that person's life history can be quite limited. So there were also, restrictions placed by the elders on the fossil remains. Mm-hmm. So I was given permission by the Willandra elders back in 2004 to study them as part of my PhD. And then Alan was, okay, well, the elders have given the okay, so Michael can go ahead and do this work. So unfortunately, there's been me, Art Durban, perhaps Chris Stringer, Milford Wolpoff, Alan Thorne and Steve Webb. And that's really about it. They've actually looked at the fossil remains.
Oh, okay. Of those people who've studied, and also yourself, you know, what have been the most significant discoveries, obviously apart from managing to date it back to 42,000 years?
Yeah, well, look, the initial discovery of a really modern-looking Aboriginal person living 42,000 years ago in Australia, when Europe is still pretty much the domain of the Neanderthals, was a striking discovery. And it really changed the way archaeologists were thinking about the population history in this part of the world. The other thing is Mungo Man was adorned in a huge quantity of ochre that was transported some 200 kilometres away. So, you know, it was a really sort of significant piece of evidence showing trade and exchange over long distances, in a great distance back in time. So there's this really complex mortuary ritual of a very modern person in Australia at a time that's much earlier than people anticipated. So at the time of the discoveries, it really shook our foundations of our understanding of human population history.
Yeah. So what else do you think can be learned?
Well, every few years, science is coming up with new techniques that can reveal more information about the ancient past. And in the last few years, next generation sequencing in ancient DNA has been developed, and it has revealed a huge amount of new information about the dispersal of modern human populations. So all modern humans living outside of Africa today carry within them the DNA of Neanderthals, and that discovery over the last several years has revealed that there was an intermixture between Neanderthals and modern humans as they moved across the globe. Also, in part, people from this part of the world, from Papua New Guinea and Australia, there are signatures in their DNA showing that they met another group of people called the Denisovans. And that DNA signature is only known in these Melanesian and Australian populations. And it's a population that really is only known from DNA. There are no complete fossils, there's a finger bone or two, and that's about it, of the Denisovans. But the DNA signature is in Papuan people and the Aboriginal Australians. So they met another archaic group that has never been represented in the fossil record, only by, you know, ancient genomes. So DNA is revealing this entirely different picture. And what we find in fossils that are much earlier in time, modern human fossils, and we published a paper a few years ago in Science with one of the first Europeans, a person from a place called Kostenki in Russia. And that person had a much higher amount of DNA of Neanderthals in his genome than modern people, showing that at the time of that meeting events of Neanderthals and modern humans in Europe, you know, the genetic flow was probably a much more significant level. So, you know, if people were able to recover DNA from Mungo Man, you know, there could be really important insights into our understanding of the population history of the first Australians. And David Lambert, who's a professor at this university, has been given permission from the elders to do that. So, you know, that work will hopefully continue in the future.
Okay, so, I mean, you know, the remains are going back to the descendants now, I suppose. What is the future for them?
Yeah, there's currently quite a bit of discussion between the elders. Some of them are still very enthusiastic about a concept which is called a keeping place. And for many, many years, this was recognised as a great sort of method of addressing both the concerns of science and the traditional owners. It was a facility that's subterranean. It would mean the remains would go back literally in the earth, but they'd be held in a facility that was managed by the traditional owners. So if bona fide researchers wanted to do some further investigation, well, the elders would consider that request, and that could be a possibility. The big problem with that, and it's the problem with many governments, is they can't see that as being a financially viable sort of situation, and managing collections, you know, requires expertise and skills, and you know, they don't really, I think, want to invest that sort of money into that sort of facility. Now, some of the other elders believe that, look, they're frustrated that it's taken so long to actually come up with this keeping place solution, and are just keen to see the remains reburied in the ground. And, you know, I can remember some of the elders out in the Willandra sort of saying, look, this thing will never be built in my lifetime, and sadly, some of those elders have passed away. So, you know, I think there is possibly a solution to this issue, one that sees them return to country, kept, you know, in a subterranean facility managed by the elders in a culturally respectful way, but also provides the opportunity that if the elders or scientists think, look, there's something else we can learn, there's new techniques that have just been developed, you know, then that opportunity still exists.
Alrighty, well, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there, but that was Dr. Michael Westaway there on Mungo Man, who is on his way home today.